Our scripture that we're going to go to is from Mark, chapter 5. Starting with verse 1. This is not a story that they do a vacation Bible school day on. It's not a story that Miss Jean is going to talk about in children's church downstairs. And it's not a story that I'm even going to go very deep on, but Mark chapter 5. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, broke the irons at his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." So I want to stop there, and there is a thing there called Photo 8. We just didn't name it anything else. Click on that, and then we're going to go back to the scripture. This is a little commentary. Like, I read commentaries, and they give me ideas of things to preach about. This is like a writing just on that one verse, verse 7, that says, he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Swear to God that you won't torture me." And it says, the demon screamed at Jesus, "What do you want with me?" It was a shriek of fear, defense, and rebellion against God. No one today would like to admit to being demon-possessed, but most of our society, like the demon, is screaming at God, the church, and Christian values. And the people said, "Amen. What do you want with me? Get out of my life. Keep your worship private." When people reject Jesus Christ and His authority, they put themselves on the side of the demons and are heading in the same direction. Every person must ask, will I choose autonomy and self-will leading to destruction? Autonomy means, have you seen that commercial with that one guy with the deep voice? It's a car commercial, and he says, "Who better to be the boss of you than you?" Have you seen that commercial? I think it's a car rental commercial. Anybody seen it? Okay, we'll look for it. Who better to be the boss of you than you? I think they must show it on some sports stuff, because that's pretty much... You're a horrible boss for yourself. Don't listen to you. That's what this says. Will I choose autonomy, I'm my own boss, and self-will leading to destruction, or will I choose Christ's loving leadership over my life, giving me forgiveness, healing from sin, cleansing, and true freedom? The answer has eternal implications. So, as this scripture goes on, the demon says, don't send me out of here. Let us go into those pigs. And so Jesus says, okay, sends the legion of demons into the pigs. The pigs go, this is such a crazy story. The pigs go into the water and drown. Okay? Now, let's pick up at verse 14. Then those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that crazy? Like, before, he was really someone to be afraid of. And now he's not, and now they're afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, can you imagine? I reckon this to, if you've ever known someone, like, say, our friend Carrie, for example. She was a drug addict. She was so hooked on drugs that she would steal money from her grandmother's purse. And she relayed a story to us about going in to buy drugs from this people, and they had a dirt floor in their house, and there were kids running around who she says, "Now I should have called the police about how those kids were living. I should have called Department of Health and Human Services or something. But I didn't care." She said, "It stunk so bad in there that I lit up a cigarette to cover the smell of how bad it smelled in this house where I'm going to buy drugs." And that type of person says a prayer, gives their life to Jesus, and within 12 months they're living in Haiti ministering to kids. She doesn't have to go to the place to get the drugs so that you can, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can go and they'll actually give you a shot or something every day. I don't know much about it, but she doesn't have to wean herself off of anything. It's like, boom, I'm not doing that anymore. I sort of reckon that to this type of thing. And then she keeps cussing, and then she says, "You know what? I probably shouldn't cuss anymore." And now, the person she is now is just so much... The person I am now is so much different than the person I used to be. I mean, I never used to run around naked and cut myself. Okay, well, I never cut myself. I was arrested at 13 years old for streaking. I'm not the person that I used to be. It's not on my record because I was a minor. I'm not the person I used to be. And sometimes when you get saved and when you realize what you're forgiven from, this guy, is there any doubt in your mind this guy's saved? This guy is saved. And Jesus hadn't been crucified on the cross yet, but Jesus, if he says you're saved, you're saved. And I can't get into the theology about the cross and the resurrection or any of that. There's no doubt in my mind this guy's saved. He runs across Jesus and he's saved. And he says, "I want to spend every waking..." I'm reading into this. "I want to go with you, Jesus. And I want to spend every waking day just following you around, thanking you." And Jesus says, "That's not how I want you to thank me." You know, if I let that happen, I can picture Jesus saying, "If I let that happen, then you're going to be no earthly good." You ever heard that phrase? "You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good." This guy, he says to Jesus, "I want to go with you." And Jesus says, "No, you're not going with me, but here's how you can thank me." Isn't this an awesome way to look at this story? You know, it's Thanksgiving. Here's how you can thank me. You go home and you tell people what I've done for you. You go down to McDonald's and you get a hamburger and you bow and you say grace. And people are going to notice that because they're going to say, "Hey, isn't this the guy who used to cut himself and run around the caves naked? What has happened to him?" And so Jesus says, "This is how you thank me, and you go do this." And so it's got me to thinking about the church. And this morning at 8:30 and 9:30, I read this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I'm not going to read it right now, but you've all heard this. Who have been in church any length of time, you've heard this. And you who haven't heard it, a synopsis is that the body of Christ, the church, is made up of many different parts. And the foot is just as important as the brain, which is just as important as the hand. And you, if your job is to be the foot on the body, you don't ever say, gosh, I wish I was the hand. It's, I don't ever say and mean it, man, I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing. I mean, I do sing, and I guess I can sing, but I'm not a good singer. And don't, I'm not looking for compliments. I mean, the people who love me tell me. It's not my gift. Now, I'll still sing. I loved what Tarina Messick put on Facebook yesterday. She had this little minion guy, and he says, just because I can't sing doesn't mean I won't. But it's not my gift. But God has gifted me in things. And so it just so happens that He has called me to stand up here. In spite of my protests, in spite of my wish that I would have some other job in the church, He has put me here. And He's given you a job, and together we make up the body of Christ. Who has been to Aldi's? Okay, a few of you, not very many. Listen, I want you to have a good experience there. And so let me just tell you a couple things. Take a quarter with you. Logan, did you say you'd been there? Oh, good. I thought you weren't going. Okay. So, take a quarter with you. You have to put it in to get your cart. And then when you return your cart and you latch the little thing back into your cart, you get your quarter back. It doesn't cost you a quarter to use the cart. You see what they're doing? They're making sure that they don't have to send anybody out to get the carts. Because you don't have to take your cart back. You can pay someone else a quarter to take your cart back. Seriously. Leave your cart, and if I come by, I'm going to take it and shop with it, and when I'm done, I'm going to take it back, latch it in, and get your quarter, and I'm okay with that. You're paying a quarter for someone to take the cart back at Walmart, you just don't know it. You're doing it in that their pudding costs 79 cents, whereas the box pudding at Aldi's costs 49 cents. So I'm going to spend way too much time on this, I know, but they don't have shopping bags. You need to take your own bags if you want to bag your groceries, or you can scavenge for boxes around. And another way that they save money, they don't sell a lot of brand name stuff. The pudding, the box pudding for 49 cents, it's not brand name, but it tastes just like the other. And they don't take coupons. Because if they take coupons, you know, Martin's doubles the coupons, but they have to raise the price enough so that they're still making money when they double your coupon. So I tell you all of this because I want you to have a good experience there, but it's not for everybody. There was this man when Diane and I were there the other day, and he was complaining. First of all, he was with a younger person who had already gone through, and this older guy's behind us, and he picks up the bags from under the counter and says, Joe, here they are. You want a couple? And I'm going, sir, that's not how that works. Because I always try to fix things. It's just how I am. I want to fix things. And so I say to the guy, that's not how that works. That's not how any of this works. No, you know that commercial. You have to pay for the bags if you want the bags. What? I said, well, that's how they can sell pudding for 49 cents. It's how they can sell hot dog and hamburger buns for 49 cents a pack. Do you hear me? Every day, 49 cents a pack. Italian bread, 99 cents a loaf. It's the same bread that they have on sale at Martin's, buy one, get one free this week, this past week, but it's $4 a loaf. At buy one, get one free, you're still paying $2 a loaf at Martin's. It's a dollar over there every day. And so I tell this guy, they sell the bags because they keep prices so low that they can't afford to provide us with bags. And then he had a coupon. And he's getting ready to cuss, and he says, I'm never coming back here. And the lady working behind the counter says, thank you, Jesus. Okay, that part of the story is not true. All the rest of it is. She was saying it under her breath. Yeah, they don't take credit cards either. Debit cards. They take bank debit cards, but they don't take credit cards. I don't know if they take checks or not. No. Cash and debit cards. Do you know that the credit card companies charge the businesses money for you using your credit card? And so they don't do that so they can keep the prices low. So I told you I was going to spend way too much time on that, and I'm sorry. I love that store. But it's not for everybody. Do you hear me? It's not for everybody. But it's for me. And so here's how this ties into this story. That this guy wants to just spend all of his eternity thanking Jesus by following him around. And Jesus says, no, you go and you live out your life now as a thanks to me. And the way that he does it is going to be different than the way I do it. See, this is getting into this, the body of Christ is made up of many parts. This morning at 8:30, I said, I'm not going to tie this all up in a pretty bow for you guys because it was just so discombobulated this morning. And then it started coming together to where I think it's together now. And so the body of Christ is made up of many parts. And every part of the body of Christ spends the rest of their lives thanking Jesus for salvation. And how I do it, even as I'm called to be a pastor, and Martha was called to be a pastor, she even does it different than I do it. Is that making sense? I went and visited someone in the hospital a couple weeks ago, and I'd never seen them before. They never saw me before, but I got a phone call that someone has Wesley Chapel United Methodist Church down as a contact for when you're in the hospital. And so the hospital calls, and I go visit the person, and I walk in. They've never seen me. I've never seen them. And I said, I'm the pastor at Wesley Chapel. And they say, oh, we went there on and off. We never were regular attenders. And I said, well, you must know Martha. And they said, yeah, we loved Martha. And they said, your chart says still contact Wesley Chapel. And they said, well, I guess that's a good thing. And I said, yeah, that's good. So I got to meet them, and they said, we love Martha. And I said, yeah, I'm not really like her. She was a great pastoral care pastor. It was a gift that God had given her. And she's living out her life of thank you to Jesus in ways that he has gifted her. Is this making sense? And I'm living it out in ways that he's gifted me. Now, am I required to do some things that I'm not gifted at? Yes. Filling out charge conference paperwork. I would love to say, sorry, DS, I'm not really gifted in that area, so I'm not going to do it. But that doesn't fly. There are things that I'm required to do that I have to do as a pastor, but they're not my gifts. There are things that I care about that Martha didn't care about, and there's things that Martha cared about that I didn't care about, and it doesn't mean that one of us is wrong and one of us is right. And so as the body of Christ comes together, everything gets done. As the body of Christ says, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I go, and you've put this on my heart, just like Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights, my call is to cook, and my call is to bring a devotion. My call is not to go spend time with the kids who are there. But we need people in the body of Christ whose calling it is to spend time with the kids. And I have it in the bulletin here that Wednesday nights, it's pretty common for us to have six kids or so for Wednesday night dinner. And then when the weather's nice, during the devotion, when I call it a devotion, some people call it a sermon, but as I speak and bring the word, those kids will go outside and play. And then when the weather's cold, they'll stay inside and they'll ride scooters, or what do you call those things? Yeah, scooters, in the hallway and stuff, keeping themselves occupied. We've already got them here. We need to start having like a VBS night every week where they do a little craft, they have a little lesson, 45 minutes is done, and they go home. We need people who are called to that from the church to step forward to do that. We've had two people who have said, yes, that's me. And we need a couple more, and then you only have to do it once a month. If we get six people, you might only do it once every 6 weeks. You see, no one person does it all. We're all called to different things. And that's okay. But here's the point. Each one of us is as best we can, and hopefully it gets better and better with time, but as best we can, we spend every day, I love to say serving the Lord. I love to say serving Him. But, you know, you could replace, if you say, I'm serving the Lord by working at the food pantry, I'm serving the Lord by doing this or by doing that, you know what else you could say? I'm thanking the Lord by working at the food pantry. I'm thanking the Lord by working with the kids on Wednesday nights. You see, you don't earn your salvation, but this scripture is a reminder to me that you spend the rest of your days thanking Him. Isn't that awesome? And how you thank Him is going to be different than how I thank Him. And it doesn't make me right and you wrong, or you right and me wrong. You thank Him, you thank Him. You thanked Him for years singing in a quartet, right? You thanked Him by working at Vacation Bible School the last few years, and He said that we're going to have to find someone else to do it this year. You thank Him by singing in the Potomac chorus thing. I don't know every detail of everyone's life, but something like that. So as much as you'd love to go see Him, and some of you, your health might be that, such as, boy, I'd just love for Him to take me anytime. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that, but you don't just sit there waiting. Thank Him by praying for others. Thank Him by... Let me pray. God, I thank You for this message that You have... I'm certain that You have laid upon my heart to share with the people here this morning about this man whom You redeemed, whom You brought from death to life, and as much as he wanted to go with You, You said, here's how you can thank me, and You sent him to be Your witness. And people were amazed. And so I pray for this congregation and those listening online even after the fact that You would remind us that while we don't do works to earn our salvation, that You save us through the shed blood of Christ on the cross, and it's only by Your grace. But then You send us on a lifelong mission of thanks. And it's not a single day, but it's every day. And so we thank You by spending time with our grandkids. We thank You by trying to raise kids in this society to honor and respect you and authority. We thank you by working in the food pantry and going to the mission and going on mission trips and sending money to Haiti and giving money to pay people's utility bills in the wintertime. We thank you by sending backpacks home with kids every week. We thank you by allowing us to be kind to retail workers and waiters and waitresses. And I pray that you would send us out of here with a little better understanding that serving you is thanking you, and there are a million ways to do it, and how we do it is not as important as it is that we just do it. So I give you thanks and praise for this message, for these people, and for your Son Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.